Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in. And as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country to come join us, come and learn with us. And today we have a very, very special show. It is so important for all of us to really get on board with the truth, because it's going to affect the future of this nation. And with that in mind, I'm going to turn the show over to our co-host, Mrs. Barbara Moore, to start us off on the right foundation. Hi, Ms. Barbara.
Hi there, Diana. Thank you so much. Before we pray, I'd like to share a mission statement that I wrote some years ago for our students here in America. It is our mission to do our very best to transmit the accumulated wisdom of the past to our students. They should be able to construct a broad base of factual historical knowledge from which they will learn to examine, analyze, and evaluate all ideas to determine acceptability from a biblical worldview. Students are to learn truth so they can recognize error and the resulting consequences from error. They should be able to effectively communicate truth and refute error using biblical principles, facts, reason, and logic. It's our mission to teach the biblical constitutional role of government as envisioned and practiced by our founding fathers. Students are to develop a love for America and an appreciation for our great American heroes. They must understand the foundational principles which make freedom possible. And that's just as relevant today as when it was written, when I wrote it many years ago. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we recognize you, O Lord, that you are the giver of all good gifts, that you are wisdom, Father, and you desire to bestow wisdom to your people. You desire for us to learn as much as we can, Father. You created us to do just that. We have a great capacity to learn, Father, regardless, Father, of anything. All of us, every one of us, Father, have a great capacity to learn because every one of us are created in your image and likeness with great abilities. And Father, we thank you for that. And we thank you, Lord, that we are each different and unique, and you created us to be that way. We thank you, Father, that there is so much to learn. And Father, we thank you that it's so interesting. Everything you've created, Father, is interesting. Everything you have done, O God, is interesting. Your hand upon us, Father, as a people, as a nation, is interesting. And Father, the more we learn, the more will you be able to use us effectively, Lord, as we apply your word rightly. Help us, O God, to return to you and to your truths, Lord, and to learn from you, O God, from your word. By the power of your Holy Spirit, Father, we pray it. And we pray, Father, that you enable us to be good warriors for you, Lord, to stand for what's right, to defend what's right, to stand for your order, Father, that you have given parents authority over their children and responsibility over their children. And you have designated parents with that responsibility, not the government, but parents. And Father, we pray for that rightful place to be reestablished in our nation, that rightful place of parents as the authority over their children. We believe this is pleasing to you, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Oh, thank you, Ms. Barbara. Well, Ms. Barbara, we have some addition to our family here. You know, this is really, you know, City on a Hill is really God's show. It's not ours. We know that we feel privileged to be a part of it. But God has sent us two awesome guests today. And I'm just going to say this because I'm hearing a reverberation. If you happen to have your internet on, if you'll turn down and mute it so that, or not be in the same room where your computer's at, we won't get this reverberation. Sorry. I had to find that out the hard way. But anyway, here we go. We have got Christina Mikes with us and Jackie Varga. And Christina, Ms. Christina, if you don't mind, share a little bit about yourself.
Oh, hi. Hi, Diana. Well, let's see. I have been an active Tea Party leader for the last 5 years. I've also been a chapter president for Eagle Forum. I'm a designer. I had a design business by trade. And I got into this, of course, when we all sort of rallied around our country and our Constitution. So I've been leading a large group, and we've done, you know, just a tremendous amount, a lot of things in the last year. And so that's pretty much, you know, sums me up. I'm a strong believer in the Lord, and I believe that, you know, his hand is guiding everything that we do.
Wow.
So,
well, Ms. Christina, to know you is to love you. I know that, I mean, we've been hearing from Don Waldman, our dear friend, about you, and it's just such a privilege to finally get to talk to you. And I know Ms. Barbara's just going to love you, too. But I'm going to say hello to our newest friend from New York. If you don't mind, Jackie, say hello.
Hi.
Hi, Jackie. We're so glad you joined us. And Ms. Christina, I don't know who it is that's got their computer in. In the same room with us, if you don't mind, if you can just mute it a little bit, that would help us because I do hear that reverberation or be in another room or something. But anyway, if we can't do that, that's fine. We'll just go on. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and ask Jackie to tell her story, if you don't mind, folks, because I think we've got to set it up as this is the reason why we're in the fight. When you hear Jackie's story, you're going to want to bend your knees and bow your head and ask God for mercy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to turn it over to Jackie. Jackie, if you don't mind, share what's in your heart.
Hi, how are you today?
Well, we're doing good. Just very excited the fact that you're here to just really move us and get
yes.
us on the right, you know, train of thought.
I'm up against this Common Core thing as well in my children's school. I have 8-year-old twins. My son has a learning disability, which was diagnosed probably at the very end of second grade, which he's in third grade right now. It took a while for them to diagnose him. He just wasn't up to speed. He was not up to his grade level with reading and writing and everything. It was a long haul and a long fight, and, you know, we finally got him tested and got him diagnosed, and, you know, he started getting the extra help that he needed in the beginning of this school year, and, you know, he finally got his confidence level back. He was getting the extra help that he needed, and he was just coming home beaming, and he was so happy, and he was participating in class and raising his hand, and, you know, he's so eager to please. He's such a kind, sweet-hearted little boy. And I even got a phone call from the teacher telling me what a well-behaved, polite little boy that I have. And she told me she never does this. She never calls people's homes. But she wanted to tell me that my son is such a well-behaved little boy, and it's the ones that listen that are going to be very successful in life. And she told me my son was going to be very successful. Well, here came Common Core. My son has changed before my eyes, and I do not know what to do because I sit here and I feel so helpless. His hope is gone. His confidence level just crashed, and he just gave up. His little head cannot handle the work that they're giving him now, which you're familiar with. This is a one-size-fits-all education, but it does not fit all. And this child is living proof that this is a struggle for all children. My daughter, his twin sister, who does not have a learning disability, is failing the math. Now, you take a child with a learning disability and expect a child with a learning disability to handle a math equation that takes 4, 5, 6, 7 steps to get an answer. He's lost by the second step. He's just about had it. I did refuse them the test, and I took them out during testing time, and then I would bring them back. And on the very last day of testing on Friday, I got him into the building. And he kept saying, "I don't want to go, Mommy. I don't want to go. Please don't make me go." And I told him, you know, everything will be okay. And, you know, you're going to be fine. And I got him into the building. And he was just like rubbing his hands together and looking at me. And all this frustration was just built up inside him. And he started with one shoe, and he ripped it off, and he threw it across the lobby. And then he took the second shoe off and threw that one across the lobby. And then he threw his metal Spider-Man lunchbox across the floor. Then he ripped his sweatshirt off, and he ran. He ran for the front door. And he was pushing it open to run from a place that he used to love. And the school psychologist actually had to grab him before he made it out the front door. And she turned him around and walked him past me with no shoes on, walking him down the hall as he turned his head to look at me, and he cried hysterical and said, "Please, Mommy, don't make me go." And this is what Common Core has done to my son.
Wow, Jackie, when I read your letter, I cried not just once, more than once. And
I cry every day. Every day, because as a mother, I don't know what to do to help him. And just like so many other parents that feel helpless out there, and the children that hold it in, my son decided to let it out. And I know there's a lot of children out there that are holding this in, and it's not healthy for them.
No, and, you know, y'all have been ahead of it further than we have in Alabama, and people are sleeping. We're trying to wake them up. And
mm-hmm.
I thank God that you share your story because, you know, Jackie, it's a crime that the mainstream media is not sharing that, because if they would share the truth, people will know within a matter of minutes. But this
Absolutely.
Is so wrong for America.
And this
so
is
we're
what
fighting.
I'm up against. Mm-hmm. I'm up against the same thing here. You know, I'm in a community where, you know, we pay a lot of money in taxes for the education system here, a lot of money. And, you know, you have a group of parents here who think that they refuse to get educated on it. They think it's all about standards and hard work and that their child can handle it and it doesn't affect them, and it very much affects them. And for me to be in the middle of the lobby of the school with my son going through this, because I'm aware of the whole situation, and there's no other parent in my school that is. And so, of course, when I try and educate people, it sounds like a science fiction movie. No one's going to believe you. And now here's my son having a fit, and now, you know, they just look at me like, here's my son, you know, oh, he doesn't want to do the work. He can't handle the work. And it's not the case. It's not the case. I mean, like I said, this was a little boy that's so eager to learn. And when he knew his work, when he was getting that extra help, and he would raise his hands and he would participate, and he was the proudest little boy when he came home off that bus. And I hung all his work up on the wall in the kitchen, and there's nothing hanging anymore.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Nothing.
Well, it breaks our heart to hear it. We want America to hear your story. We need for Glenn Beck to really hear your story. We need it all over. And I'm gonna ask Ms. Barbara. She is also a former teacher. I know she probably has a comment or a question. Ms. Barbara?
Well, this is heartbreaking. I am so, so, so sorry. It's just heartbreaking. And I'm thinking, you know, no longer can you just go to your school, your local board of education, because the Common Core is top down from the federal government. And how do you appeal to the federal government for a redress of your grievances? You know, I mean, it's like, you know, parents don't have control over their children's education anymore, and that's one of the hardest things is that parental control.
Absolutely.
Well, Jackie, let me go and ask Ms. Christina. Do you have a comment or question for her, Ms. Christina?
You know, I don't know what the feasibility is for you. I listen to you, and I just cringe. I cringe at hearing stories. I just don't understand where our society is going anymore. I don't understand why people are so apathetic to what is going on with their children and their lives. Is there a possibility to pull them out of school and homeschool?
I am on that mission right now. As of today, this was Friday that this happened, and now, of course, he had to go back to school today. It was a terrible, terrible morning.
I can
terrible.
Imagine. Terrible. I can
imagine. And I'm heartbroken, and how do you explain to your child that I have to send you there? I have to, you know, send you to do this stuff that doesn't make sense to you, that mixes your head up and confuses you. Your mommy has to do that.
You can't explain that to the child. The child doesn't have capability to understand. But I encourage everyone that's listening that I'm also a co-founder of a national coalition to fight Common Core curriculum in the United States. We have got to wake people up. Parents, wake up. This is coming.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to lose control of your children. Is this what
we already are?
I know we are. When it's happening rapidly because there is so much money and power behind this movement. But you know what? I keep going back to the fact our God is greater, and we have to look to our God as our source in all things. We still have power. We are not unempowered. Get your child out of school. Get both of your children out of the public education system. Keep them away from charter.
Yeah, the only thing that fears me here in New York is that they are in the process of implementing this Common Core through the homeschooling now.
Well, they're doing it here in California as well, but we're working on some programs that will give something for parents to be able to educate their kids outside of the system. And then ultimately, because Common Core is to the test, they're teaching to a test, and everything will be programmed to this test. Of course, homeschoolers will have to teach their children. But that's, say, you want to go to college or you want to do this. Well, you know what? There are colleges in this country that are godly Christian colleges. Hillsdale is one. It's a constitutional college. David Barton knows, and you know, Diana knows David Barton. They know several. There are colleges that we can get. There are educational programs. And who says we have to send our kids to school this day or this day or this time to this time? You know, we can come up with creative solutions within ourselves to balance out the education system and give our children the education that they need without any government involvement. So your kid doesn't go to a mainstream college. So what? If I had a child now college age, there'd be no way they'd go to one of these colleges. There's no way. We've got to start standing and taking our representation onto ourselves. Because we can't depend on representatives. We can't depend on anybody anymore but ourselves and our God.
And God, that's
God
absolutely.
Is giving us a creative, you know, people, we've got a tremendous amount of creativity amongst us. We found that out in our coalition that we're establishing to fight Common Core. We've got tremendous ideas and avenues open to us. And I do believe that God is going to open up these doors because he doesn't want his innocent children being brainwashed by these six people. And so there are methods and things we can do. We're working on it. We're working fast on it. We all have to band together and work together to bring this about.
I know the Lord is going to protect my son.
Get him out of school,
and,
out of the public education system.
Absolutely. I am looking into a Christian homeschooling right now. And, you know, that's the only comfort that my son gets now is through the Word of God.
Yes. And they also,
the only comfort he gets.
They also have these Sylvan Learning Centers. They have things that are against Common Core. So we really have to, you know, look for those things. Charter schools are being consumed by this.
Right.
I don't like charter schools anymore either. So if I had children, they would be at home with me in home or in a Christian-based homeschooling program or a Christian school. And that's another thing, reaching pastors. That's what I'm doing. I'm actually reaching out to pastors that have schools attached to their churches, K through 12. And I'm educating them, and they're looking at this going, oh, my God. So, but again, that's it. We have the Lord. They can do whatever they want, but our God is greater than anything on this earth. He created it. He created us, and these are his children.
Yes.
It's no different than this abortion doctor. You know, we're going to be standing and be held accountable. So we have got to stand and protect the innocent. That's our job. That's our calling.
Absolutely. Absolutely, it's what I tell my son.
Let me ask Ms. Barbara. Ms. Barbara, are you still on?
I am. And you know, I loved what she's been saying because she's talking about building, about being proactive, about being creative with all the creativity that God has given us. And we are to, I believe, we're to build as in the days of Nehemiah, to rebuild the walls, to build with one hand and do these things. And, yes, the homeschooling, I homeschooled our youngest son and loved it, wouldn't take anything for it. It really prepared him well. But I taught in a Christian school as well, and absolutely wonderful. So, you know, we can do these things and must do these things. But at the same time, we have got to defend education, good education, with our other hand, so to speak. And we have to get rid of the Common Core. We have to be active. The Common Core is aligned with the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child, which does not recognize homeschooling as a viable option in education. And I think the intent will be to, and the plan is to do a total takeover of education, including home schools and Christian schools.
You're absolutely right.
Let me ask you, if you don't mind, because, you know, our heart breaks for Jackie. Would you mind if you pray for her and her family, and then Ms. Christina also, and then we will go into the presentation of Ms. Christina on how she was able to change the minds of school board members on Common Core. So, Jackie, would you mind if we pray over you?
Absolutely. Please pray over me.
Okay. Ms. Barbara, if you don't mind starting, Ms. Christina, if you don't mind, follow her and close that.
Okay. Thank you, Father. Father, we're so grateful that we can lift them up to you, O God. We're so grateful, Father, that even more that our desires for them, Father, are your desires for them. Father, for her as a mother, and it's so heart-wrenching, heart-breaking. And, Father, we just pray that you will bring good out of this situation, that what the enemy means for evil, that you, O Lord, will turn it and use it for good for the salvation of many. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God who maximizes the good, Father, and you squeeze every inch of good out of every situation, and that's what we pray for in this. We pray, Father, that you would surround this precious family, Lord, with your presence, your peace, your provision for them, Father, your protection of them, O Lord. And your angels would encamp round about them, Father, to guard them and guide them in your ways, O God. We thank you, Father, for this precious family and their desire to serve you, to love you, serve you, and to do your good pleasure, Father. We thank you, Father. We pray that you will strengthen them, Father, in their relationship with you and with one another. We pray, Father, for that they will be an example, Lord, to others. And, Father, that you will enlarge their influence, Lord, and help them in every way, Father. We pray it in Jesus' precious and powerful name. Amen.
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 Thank you.
Jackie, you just have faith in the Lord. You want me to pray, Diana?
Yeah, if you don't mind, Ms. Christina.
Oh, fine, yes. I thought Barbara pretty well said it all. Lord, again, we just come together. There's Jackie, there's Barbara, there's Diana, and there's myself. And, Lord, you say where we are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst of us. Lord, we just thank you for being right here with us right now. And you're hearing, and I know your heart is breaking to hear Jackie's story about her son. You don't want one innocent to suffer this way at the hand of man. Lord, I just thank you as we go forward with what we're doing on Common Core, Lord, that you continue to put your hand to it and bless this mission. You know how critical it is, and you know how short on time we are. All things in your timing, Lord, though all things in your timing turn out perfect. Lord, I just ask you this day as we go forward to bless Jackie and her family and her son and give her son the peace that he is seeking through you, Lord, because he can't understand all that is happening. And he's looking to his mother, and that as a mother I know that just is a heart-wrenching situation. So, Lord, we just ask you to just comfort them and give them, surround them in your love. And, Lord, give her your guidance and your wisdom and open those doors that she needs to go through to get her children in a space where they will be educated and they can walk in your ways, Lord, and be taught in your ways. And Lord, we just thank you as we all go forward that your hand of blessing upon those warriors of us that are standing in the gap. You told us, Lord, we have a commission to occupy and restrain until you come. Lord, that is our goal and that is our mission, to be your vessels, to do your will. As Barbara said, to be the Nehemiah, to rebuild the temple. Lord, we have such a rebuilding to do. And Lord, we just thank you that you will give us the strength, the energy, the courage, and the wisdom and the discernment to follow the Spirit in all things as we go forward. And Lord, we just thank you for your blessings and protection upon this family and all of us that are fighting this insidious darkness that is taking over our nation. Lord, we thank you and we praise you in your precious and holy name, Yeshua. Amen.
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 Well, Jackie, thank you. And I'm going to send everybody's email to you because I'm sure, okay, you know, we want to keep in touch with you. And I know they're going to want to encourage you. And so God bless you. And hopefully we can talk again in a month and there will be movement.
Amen to that.
Amen to that is right. I pray every day, and I'm not going to back down, and I'm not going to give up for my son or for any of the children out there.
None of us are, Jackie, and you're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
God bless you, Jackie, and thank you for sharing it with us. We needed to hear that. The whole country needs to hear that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So God bless you.
Thank you. We'll talk to you later, Jackie. Bye. God bless. Thank you. God bless. Bye.
Oh, what a horror. Christina, this is, we needed that. You know, God in his timing allowed her to share that. And we know that you've got a very important presentation for us because, Ms. Barbara, when I heard her present, I mean, I can see how people understand what she's saying, a topic that a lot of times people really are taken aback to even delve into. But because Ms. Christina has studied it in all details, it's just a wondrous thing. So, Ms. Christina, even if it goes over the timing, you know, we've got to set till 2:30. Even if it goes over 2:30, please keep on because it'll be recorded. You know, we want your story. So please go ahead. But before we start, Ms. Barbara, is there any comment you'd like to make before we get started?
No, I'm just overwhelmed. I am too,
Barbara, right now. I'm just a little overwhelmed after all of that. That was kind of, and I'm looking at this other insidious half of it, and I just feel, in one sense, I'm very empowered because I know that God has his hand on what we're doing. I know he's here, and I know he's not going to let us down because he walks through all things with us, and we just can't lose sight of that, even as heavy as sometimes we all feel with the overwhelming darkness that is coming over this nation.
Yeah.
But you know, sadly, it is overwhelming. I'm trying to bring myself back to Agenda 21, which is a topic that a lot of people don't understand. And it's easier for people to understand at this point if I say sustainable development or something sustainable, because that's the word everybody's hearing, the buzzword. Everything these days is sustainable. But it really came from the initial Agenda 21 was developed in the United Nations in 1992. 178 nations signed on to it, and including ourselves, which at that time we had President H.W. Bush, Herbert Walker. He signed us on to Agenda 21. And I'll get into all the particulars of Agenda 21, but I just kind of want to give you a quick background. The treaty was never ratified. It was not made hard law in the United States. Under the Clinton administration, because they couldn't get this into the United States, and we actually have a recording of Nancy Pelosi standing on the House floor saying, we will have Agenda 21, just like she did with the health care bill. We will have it, whether we have to parachute in, walk in, or whatever, we will have it. Well, that was her goal. We will have it, and we have it. But we have it under President Clinton because he created an executive order on the President's Council on Sustainable Development. He took that and basically lifted Agenda 21 language from the United Nations and put it into this President's Council on Sustainable Development, Sustainable America. So all things, all tentacles are coming from that one place, that one executive order that actually brought forth something that we rejected from the United Nations and brought it in via executive order into our country. Okay, so now that's how the whole Agenda 21 language and program got into America. It has since been perpetrated by George W. Bush and this administration, this current administration on steroids. President Reagan actually got us out of, signed us out of UNESCO. UNESCO is an arm of the United Nations that has to do with the education and sustainability section. So they're actually part of the Common Core curriculum that we were just discussing. UNESCO's a big factor in Common Core. So keep that in mind. President Reagan signed us out of UNESCO. President Bush, George W., signed us back in to UNESCO. And we fund UNESCO at the total of about 100 and some odd million, I think it's $25, $35 million a year. We are currently not funding UNESCO because of the Palestinian, the fact that they recognized the Palestinian state. So we quit funding them. We held back funds. Well, now our current president is trying to circumvent Congress and figure out a way that he can refund UNESCO so that it can continue to implement its educational arm for Common Core curriculum. And we'll get into that a little bit later. But so now this stuff is being, and of course we have so many organizations that come in under this now. We have roughly about 58,000 what they call non-government organizations. These government organizations are funding, creating, pushing, driving. They're the force behind implementing all things sustainable. Sustainable winds up coming into your communities via your planning, your planning associations, your planning arms, your planning planners in your cities, this states, counties, etc. They are all working under the premise of the American Planning Association. The American Planning Association has been co-opted by the United Nations, by the ICLEI division. And they are now working with the United Nations and ICLEI to get this sustainable agenda implemented. When we talk about sustainable, is there any questions up to this point, you guys, or do you want me to just keep on going?
Oh, just keep on for me.
I'll tell you what, I have never heard it explained so clearly as you are doing, so you just keep right on going.
Okay. Sustainable development is a comprehensive plan of action to be taken globally, nationally, and locally by organizations and these non-government organizations I'm talking about. George Soros is involved with this in Media Matters. There's just umpteen. Like I said, there's 58,000. Of the 58,000, he's got roughly 5,000-plus organizations that George Soros is implementing various phases of this. They've taken control of the media. Well, we know that, don't we? And so all different facets. What they do is they co-opt organizations, like I was saying, the American Planning Association. Well, the American Planning Association says, well, this is a myth. We don't do this. Well, if we don't do it, then why are you working so hard to make it a myth of what you're really doing? And you're trying to create it's a myth, and yet all things, lead in that direction. I just worked on a project here in my community where we took the general plan of our city, and the general plan was wrought with Agenda 21 language. And they have things like they talk about complete streets, they talk about walkable communities, livable communities, all these different buzzwords. And your tax dollars are paying for all this, by the way. But the buzzwords for Agenda 21, I mean, for, I don't want to really call it Agenda 21. It's under the United Nations Agenda for the 21st Century is how it first came into being. It has an Earth Charter. It was also done by the Club of Rome. Maury Strom, Mikhail Gorbachev, Al Gore is involved with this. I mean, numerous people are involved in all of this. Gro Harlem Brundtland, she was the author of, she was the president of the Club of Rome. She's was also president of Norway for three terms. So there's many different people involved. The United States is the last holdout, and so these are the things that they want to, they have to take us down in order to fully implement this program. And that's their goal. So the sustainability has now spread into all facets of our life. You can say pretty much what is sustainable and what isn't sustainable. Your car is not a sustainable item. Your private property rights is not a sustainable item. Golf courses are not sustainable items. Livestock are not a sustainable item. There's a million things that are non-sustainable that they want to go after. And so I'm trying to keep it simple, but it's kind of like going. So once the APA gets involved in your cities, the American Planning Association, that's how your changes are made. So if they want to, let's say we want to green your city, and the whole point is this man-made global warming. This is the vehicle of implementation that they brought in. They tried to think of ways, what could they sell the public on to implement their ultimate one world government? That's where all this is leading. One world citizens, one world everything. How could they implement? What could they do? Well, they developed this global warming, man-made global warming. And they said, aha. So they started creating the myth that this global warming exists. And they had the media. They had all of the things to promote their science. Clinton actually signed an executive order, I believe it was in 94, where they promoted this. And he said, if you will promote this agenda and my reelection, we will give you the funds to go out and do this. So there's a lot of subversion going on in the background to promote this agenda, to take over our lives and our cities and everything that we hold near and dear. When you talk about things that are not sustainable, that they feel sustainability can best be understood by contemplating those things that are deemed non-sustainable, which would be ski runs, grazing of livestock, fencing, pastures, paddocks, because then you're interfering with the multi-species habitat. Open spaces is another thing where they trick you into giving over pieces of your land. And then they say, oh, sorry, this is now a preserve. You can't develop on that land. So they're coming up with very creative ways to get you out of your property rights, out of your cars. If they can't get you out of your cars, they will coerce you out of getting out of your cars because they'll create smaller streets. That's what complete streets are, narrowing the avenues of travel so that you have to bike or walk. They want to create walkable communities. And right. what that involves is stack and pack houses. So you have living above and retail below. And everybody walks or bikes within this community. And they're creating go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, they promote the bicycle, the building of bicycle trails as, you know, they're creating those in every community, including our own. And
promoting it as a leisure type activity when in fact it is it's a blueprint for what for going without cars in the future and so forth. Here in Alabama, our legislature, which was last year for the first time we had a Republican legislature, and they made a law, and it was signed into law by the governor, that Agenda 21 is not permitted in Alabama, any implementation of Agenda 21. However, it's getting in through the cities and the counties big time. Here in our community, they are attacking private property rights with sign ordinances, limiting and restricting businesses, privately owned businesses, with landscaping ordinances and sign ordinances, which have not been asked for by the community, but they're imposing them through the city planner, Todd McDonald, and his department of city planning. So they're just putting these in one by one, step by step, leading us into this place where they want us to be. One other thing I want to tell you. We have asked our representative, our United States representative in Congress, Representative Martha Roby, to begin investigating executive orders, and not limited to the Obama administration, but going back, you know, illegal executive orders that are anything but the rightful place of executive orders to simply execute or enforce law that Congress makes. That's the purpose of the executive orders. But she has not done so. We have asked for this investigation, and quite a few of us in our community have asked, but so far nothing has been done toward that, I'm sorry to say.
Speaking to that, Barbara, you know that they have, the Congress has 90 days to overturn any executive order that's written. So the fact that our representatives are in non-action should tell us everything we need to know, because they are part and parcel of all of this. Not one of them, I mean, you might find one or two or three or four up there that are really care about America. But that's about it. The rest of them are so entrenched in their own, you know, personal edification, power, you know, all this kind of stuff that we've lost representation in this country. We go to them expecting them to do something, but they're not going to, because they're part and parcel of all of this. And that's how they're getting into our communities. And what the APA's job is, like I just went through it here in our city, because that plan was just, like I said, rot with Agenda 21 language, rot with it. And once I sat down, it took me almost a year, but I sat down with the planning department, and there was one lady in this planning department that kept staring me down the entire time because she was from the American Planning Association. And she, consulting firm, wrote the plan, the general plan for the city. Well, of course it's going to be wrought with all of the terms and terminology that's in Agenda 21. It even had in it, and I said to them, because they said, well, we have nothing to do with Agenda 21, or we have nothing to do with the United Nations. And so I said to them, well, why would this little city here in this Coachella Valley of California have on the second page of one of their documents in their general plan a quote from the United Nations, if you have nothing to do with Agenda 21 or sustainability, or you're not connected with the United Nations in any way? And they said, well, I'm kind of fumbling around. They didn't know. And right in there, and I pointed out to them, it says, here's the quote. The United Nations defines sustainability as development that meets the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. And there are three major contributors to sustainable development: the economy, the environment, and the people. All three are interrelated and important for community vitality. So you must have economic growth is important for social stability, for the environment. The quality of the environment has a significant impact on quality of life. So we must worry about healthier lives. When was it the city's job to worry about my health? They are signed on to WHO, which is the World Health Organization that is operated out of the United Nations. Now, I spent almost a year with them. After educating and showing and rewriting and doing and meeting with the planning department and getting daggers in my back from the APA, I got the plan changed. We actually got it changed, which was
wow.
A miracle. In and of itself, we got them to disassociate themselves from WHO, World Health Organization. We got them to wake up. Now that they've woken up, they see Agenda 21 everywhere, sustainability everywhere. We have something here. You were talking about bike paths and things. We now want to invest. The Coachella Valley wants to be the greenest in California. We just want to be all ready for green when it just spurts onto the, you know, the nation. So we're going to build a $100 million golf cart path to nowhere. We're going to start at one end of our valley and go to the other end of our valley. Only it's going to be out by the freeway. So you're going to have to drive your car and haul your golf cart or your bicycle out to the path and then get your golf cart on the path and take it down to wherever you want to go and drive in. They're creating golf cart paths here. We have golf cart paths so that you can make your golf cart street legal to get you out of a car. All this stuff is designed to get you out of a car. How does that get you out of a car when you have to drive your car to get to the path? But we're going to spend $100 million on a golf cart path to nowhere.
Mm.
That's California.
But, Christina, you were able to go in there and convince them and show them that what they were doing it's not what they need to be doing. So, Ms. Barbara, this is amazing, but go ahead, Christina. Sorry.
We have an association here, which I'm sure a lot of you have in your areas. If you have a few cities together, grouped together, you might have a valley of governments of somehow. Ours is called CVAG, Coachella Valley Association of Governments. That's each city. Each city has a representative, and they're supposed to go in, you know, into this group and see, kind of work together because we're all clustered together to create, you know, a nice valley. Okay, fine. But we're doing it under the guise of environmental justice, social justice, economic justice. This is all UN language. This all comes from that document, Agenda 21, which doesn't exist. It's only a conspiracy theory, as everybody says. Well, if it's a conspiracy theory, then why is there so much information out on this conspiracy theory, and why is there a paper trail a mile long? So it does exist. Now, it's under the guise now of sustainable development. We have organizations all over the place that are promoting this, and they're being used constantly by our government. This is all about control. This goes to our education system. This is part of it. You were just talking about Common Core. Common Core, the ultimate core of Common Core, is to create a new society for their new world order. They don't want us because we're too entrenched in God, our country, our constitution, our lives, our freedoms. They don't want us. But how do you change a society? You change how the society thinks. And the UNESCO, remember the education arm of the United Nations, has a mission statement that their goal is to eradicate free will in our students so that they will only be able to think and do as their schoolmasters would wish. What you're ultimately going to do with this Common Core is create a group of managed citizens, a managed workforce, a sustainable global citizen that will be controlled and managed by the elite governments of the world that have come together under this guise of, you know, we can do it all, we know it all, you peons know nothing. And so you're going to have to follow us. It's Mother Earth worship. We're going back to Mother Earth worship as in the days of Babylon.
And Christina, I just love what you said because it makes sense what we're seeing because as we just heard that mother, mm-hmm. you know, it used to be in the past you would do everything that you could for these disabled child, but, you know, they're being thrown out the window. And it used to be in the past that we cared about exceptionalism, but no more. Everybody has got to be alike. As a matter of fact, they're not really going to be incentivized to help children excel. So, you know, with the mask putting them off 2 years, as Professor Jim Milgram has said, who was on the National Validation Committee of Common Core, they waste 2 years of a child's life with that confused mask. Now, if you were truly wanting to educate and make the children of America the best, why would you waste 2 years of precious time? Now it makes sense.
Well, ultimately, they're not going to waste 2 years of precious time, Diana. They're going to take the children from birth all the way through life. And this, I think people need to hear this because this is so important. This is what the ultimate goal of the UNESCO Education Arm is. This was written by Fitch years ago. It says it may be hoped that in time anybody will be able to persuade anybody of anything if he can catch the patient young and is provided by the state with money and equipment. Well, geez, you know, reading back over that money and equipment, when I read that several years ago, I didn't know about Common Core. But now that I know about Common Core, that equipment all of a sudden comes in and has great meaning because that equipment is the data mining that's going to be done on our children via technology. And they've got all these sick methods that's in the Department of Education Perseverance, Tenacity, and Grit document that was released in February 2013. And so...
Christine?
Yes, go ahead, Barbara. I'm sorry.
Okay, two things. One, have you come across information that President Obama took stimulus money and purchased United Nations pamphlets on social justice to put into every school district in the United States. You are familiar with that?
Yes, it's a global curriculum. I mean, everything they're doing now, this president is on steroids with the United Nations. And not only do you have a convention on the rights of the child at the United Nations, but you also have a UN Treaty Convention on the Rights of the Disabled. And I don't know if you guys remember, last year they actually tried to pass this here in the United States, where the United Nations would then have, we would turn our parental rights over to the international community for our disabled and our children.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
remember that last year?
Yes.
Well, this is their ultimate goal of education. Education should aim at destroying free will, so that after pupils have left school, they shall be incapable throughout the rest of their lives of thinking or acting otherwise than as their schoolmasters would have wished. They're utilized. Diet, injections, and injunctions will combine from a very early age to produce the sort of character and the sort of beliefs that the authorities consider desirable. And any serious criticism of the powers that be will become psychologically impossible. Even if all are miserable, all will believe themselves happy because the government will tell them that they are so.
Well, Christine, let me just say this. For you that are listening, we're fixing to get cut off, but the podcast, this will be recorded, so you will hear the entirety when you go to the podcast of this program today. But I want to also, if you don't mind, Christine, when I was saying earlier that Professor Milgram said it waits 2 years, to me, the odd thing was when they called this something that's the best school since sliced bread to make children college and career ready or, you know, better. This is the best thing, you know, for kids all across, you know, better than other standards or, you know, for the most part. I think to myself, when Jim Milgram says it wastes 2 years, then to me, that's just very telling that they really do not care about the child.
No, they don't. This isn't about the child, is it? This is about a marriage between big government and big business. And the fact that these elites think, you know, they have some utopian idea of some society that they think they're going to create, which is in the Earth Charter of the United Nations, where they want to create this care for the community of life with understanding, compassion, and love. Build democratic societies that are just, participatory, sustainable, and peaceful. To, you know, they just go on and on with this utopian idea of what they're going to secure Earth's bounty and beauty for present and future generations. And they go on and on. I have documents where they talk about Mother Earth and what we have to do with Mother Earth. We have to prevent harm as the best method of environmental protection. So, you know, now again, let me go back to that, the environmental protection. We have to understand what and how they're utilizing this and getting this. Okay, we talked about the APA. I'm jumping all over, I know, but my thought process is. The APA, the American Planning Association, there was one. But you've got the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency. They can't get this stuff implemented through Congress. So they're going to do it through regulation. So the EPA is Obama's arm to crack down on the, if you notice, ever since he's been president, they have cracked down on everything. They are taking people's rights away, their property away, under the wetlands thing. Oh, you had some water there? Oh, it's a wetland. Multi-species habitats, all these different things, open spaces, corridors, this, that, corridors. They want a place for the animals to be able to, you know, walk through. I mean, really? So the whole thing is a massive amount of control through regulation. So you have the EPA, you have the Department of Energy, you have the Labor Department, you have all of these, the Department of Education. So all of it is being implemented through our government is via regulations. Very little is being done, and this is why our representatives are clueless. They are clueless. We were on one the other night with a representative, and we brought up how Agenda 21 sustainability relates to Common Core, because the whole point behind Common Core is to create that sustainable global workforce where they will tell you it's a managed global society. You won't have to worry about your future because they have a plan for where you live, how you will live, how you'll commute, what you'll eat, what you'll learn, what you'll be taught, and even what God you will have.
Ms. Christina, let me bring this up. I don't know if Ms. Barbara, you remember this, but Wanda had brought this up, another one in our group, Wanda McDonald had brought this up. There was something about a school lunchroom form. And when you look at the portion of the form, there's something UNESCO. I mean, the UNESCO name or insignia was on that school, I think, lunchroom form. So you know, you do see signs everywhere, little bits here and there that really, you know, if you think this is a conspiracy, there's too many signs out there, and it just really, to me, Ms. Barbara, it makes so much sense. When we see this approach to education that is so crazy, I guess it's my word for it. It's certainly not there to help our children.
Diana, in a school in the Birmingham area, we were told about an after-school program where a parent and I think a teacher had gotten a hold of one of the papers that they were using in an after-school program, and on those papers it had the United Nations. It was from the United Nations, and that's right here in Alabama in the Birmingham area.
Mm. Yeah. So while we're funding them, period. And another thing to look for in your communities is because this is what's happening here in California in my community. They are, the cities, the very cities, are creating committees on sustainable development. And everything travels through this sustainability. So all things sustainable, that's their buzzword, because they don't want to use this Agenda 21. People are too wise to it. So, and then what they're doing is they're pulling kids in and putting them on these committees to teach them how to be good, global, sustainable citizens and create a sustainable community. We had a thing here where they had a presentation at one of the colleges. They brought in the children from middle school, high school, and then the college
put them into an auditorium. No adults allowed. Now, bear that in mind. No parents, adults allowed. And it was a complete forum on sustainable globalization and being sustainable citizens. They're brainwashing our children.
Well, I believe that the leadership training that goes on in every American city these days, the leadership, the governor schools and the leadership training they have for youth, for high schoolers, and I'm sure there's a corresponding one for colleges, but I'm familiar with the leadership. I believe that is part of it as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's they have to get people to cooperate. You know, teachers' unions are a big part of this. The unions are part of the, you know, pushing the United Nations agenda. And the whole agenda is to rewrite America. We have to change the way we live. You know, the whole point is to save Mother Earth. And we have to go by this. And so that's why they have you. If you notice, you're hearing that they need to take control of the lakes and the streams and the rivers and waters and health care. This is all the things they have to take control of. Urban areas, rural areas, health care, education, nutrition, agriculture, labor, production, and consumption. In short,
well, I'm sorry, Ms. Christina. We just had a big fight, right, Ms. Barbara, in regard to really the forest area. What was the, I didn't forget the name of the, The bill, Ms. Barbara.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. And we lost that fight. Our legislature is refunding Forever Wild to the tune of $250,000. No, more than that. But anyway, we lost that fight this past year to Forever Wild. And they say it's a public-private partnership. Is the public putting the bill, and, you know, for what? We don't know. I mean, it's just insane. Just insane. We fought it, but we lost.
Well Ms. Christina?
Yes.
Oh, go ahead, Christina. Sorry.
Well, the public-private partnerships, those are corporations or other private entities like foundations and NGOs, non-governmental organizations. Of which
there's
58,000 roughly connected to the United Nations, associations like the APA, et cetera, that pair with government to enforce rules and policies that benefit the money partner of or government objective. It's a reinvention of Mussolini's system of economic fascism is what it is.
Well, Ms. Christina, when you share this with the school board members, do you share all the things that you've shared with us? And I'm wondering, what do they tell you or what do they ask you?
No, I can't. I can't start it like this, you know, focusing on the United Nations first. First of all, I have to speak to them in relation to we have an issue that has come to the forefront. It's called the Common Core Curriculum. Are you familiar with that? And then from there, I utilize tools, videos, many different things to educate. My whole thing first is, this is how I did my city, is educate first. Educate, educate, educate. I spend so much time in meetings and things and developing tools for them to educate them. And once they get educated, gradually as their eyes open, they go, oh my God, this is insane. I go, well, it's maybe insane, but it's a fact. And how are we going to deal with it? So I have to get them engaged first. Once I get them educated, then I can activate them. And that's my big goal. This is how I did it at the cities. This is how I'm doing it with the school boards. This is how I'm doing it with the pastors. And I do
I'm afraid you're going to have to reproduce yourself. And you could do that by video if you could, take the sessions that for us to use. That would be great.
Well, we'll have to come up with something because, a lot of these people obviously don't want to be, at this point on camera because I'm dealing with some people that are involved with people that are not, that are on board with Common Core. You know, it's being pushed here in California like crazy. So it's just, we'll develop something at some point. I've just spent so much time in Agenda 21 because smart meters, you know, we have these smart meters. We have now the gas meters rolling wireless device. I can't urge people enough to fight back against those. We won in California. If we can win in California, we put together a class action suit against our California Public Utilities Commission. It took us 2 years. Yes, it took us 2 years. We have an attorney. We went against the Public Utilities Commission. We didn't go against on the health issues because while they're accurate and they're very valid, they are too hard to to prove and too easy to disprove.
Right.
So we went at it from the privacy, property rights, privacy issues of the Constitution. And that's how we managed to win the right to opt out. Now, we shouldn't have to pay to opt out because we didn't opt in. We didn't even have a choice. But the fact remains we now have to pay to opt out. I don't care. I will pay to opt out to keep that government from controlling everything in my home. And that's ultimately the goal of a smart meter. They, again, have to control energy in this whole Agenda 21 thing. They must control the energy. So how do you control
the
energy?
They can turn off the electricity in those individual homes where the
not
smart
only
meters
that,
are
not
being
only
used.
Not only that, can monitor everything you do. They know when you come. They know when you go. They know when you turn on this appliance. They know when you go in your fridge. They know when you turn on your curling iron. They will know everything, and this will be transmitting every 7 seconds through your home. There's a pulsation. All appliances will have chips in them. I mean, it's just insidious. What they're already dictating to you how you built your home. When I built my home, I had to have certain toilets. I had to have certain shower faucets. I had to have this. I had to have that because of all the, you know, the environmental codes. So it all connects together. And because I spent so much time studying and working with Agenda 21 issues, be it smart meters, be it Agenda 21, be it, you know, community general plans, whatever it is, it's... When Common Core surfaced, I looked at that and I went, there's Agenda 21, UNESCO.
Yeah.
So it all ties together. When I say, I make a comment all the time, I say all roads lead back to Agenda 21. I don't care what it is. What they come up with, you will find a connection back to the United Nations Agenda 21. And people shouldn't be afraid of it. People should educate themselves. We are at a time of peril. And we can no longer be politically correct. I know a lot of people don't want to talk about Agenda 21 because they say, oh, it turns people off. Well, you know what? I'm not PC anymore. And I'm not worried about turning people off. I'm worried about getting people to wake up and get you educated because this train is on track. And it's in the eyes.
Well, to me, Ms. Christina, Ms. Barbara, I love the way Ms. Christina has really opened my eyes to the bottom line. I mean, we really, you know, we do know why it's like this, why the approach to Common Core is so bad. Mm-hmm. We understand it from what you have said. I mean, it makes so much sense. You know, they have a plan for it to be such a way. It is a perfect plan in their in their scheme. You
well,
couldn't get any better.
It's perfect in the sense that they're already... We're fighting like crazy because we still, as I said, believe in God, our country, our Constitution, and, you know, freedom and all of these things. But what are they doing subversively behind our back while we're over here fighting? They're changing the mindset of the next generation coming up so they won't even know what we know. They're changing our history. They're changing our traditions. They're teaching our founders were terrorists. They're teaching horrible things in this curriculum. And so our children growing up and those that have come along through the college systems now, which are so corrupt and liberal, that we've actually already lost a generation. And now you take the next generation and you start, you know, feeding this into their mind, especially through these data mining technology techniques where they're going to be using cameras and wristbands to monitor children, posture-sensitive seats, pressure-sensitive mouse, and fMRI equipment to scan your kid's brain and ultimately to feed information into their brain. So when you take and you brainwash an entire generation, as Hitler said, you've got generations after that. So it will be easy for them then to go to the next level of implementation of the one world government. Because the kids won't know any different. They will think this is the norm. So they're already doing that. They're already bringing, that's why they want them from 3 years old on. Obama in his State of the Union said we must get pre-kindergarten now. We must get kids educated earlier. No, the word was brainwashed, not educated, brainwashed.
Well,
because you can't change a society unless you change the way people think. How do you change the way people think? And this is what they're doing. They developed this. This has been in the works as far back as I can see since the 1940s.
And Ms. Christina, the RFID technology that you're talking about is the same technology that, you know, when you go to Walmart, if you forget to pay for something,
yeah.
Or, you know, they don't run the CD or DVD through some kind of a scan machine, it beeps, you know, as you leave. That's what you're talking about, the RFID technology, right?
Well, it's exactly the same thing, and you have population, you know, issues with this Agenda 21. They want population control. Because humanity is the greatest detriment to Mother Earth. So we need to get rid of some of the population. And they teach the children, and while they're teaching them about sustainability and the environment, they're teaching them about population, how the humans, are destroying the Earth. So we must. Their ultimate goal is to cull the population down to 500 million people total. Globally.
Wow.
Now they're going to do this how? That's why he had to have the health care bill.
Uh-huh.
That's why he wants all the health care industry connected together via technology. So they have access to everybody and they can see what you're doing. Are you a useful member of society anymore? No. Out with you. You know, and this is how they're going to get the population. My mother, who's 90, she would be denied medications for whatever she would need because she would no longer be able to contribute to society. She's 90. So give them a pill and send them home to die. Sarah Palin wasn't wrong when she talked about the death panels. That's a real part of you.
And we talked about that the other day, too. You know, there's the VA death book, I remember seeing. So, you know, this administration is capable of it. They've already done it. They've already got a sort of a death panel right there. And that book is one of those things that, you know, I remember that Bush said, no, we don't want to use this book. But Obama and his administration took it upon us, we need to distribute this book. So it's an end of life planning. And what a horrible thing to do to veterans, Ms. Christina, for them to have to deal with that. You know,
I know.
When their life is on the line all the time. Psychological damage.
Yes, our veterans, our seniors. I mean, these people have worked all their lives. They're the ones that built America. And now they're being pushed aside because you are not a contributor to society. Eugenics plays a big role in this. The Margaret Sanger kind of thought process, this abortion doctor we talked about in Pennsylvania. What do you think that is? Part of the Margaret Sanger thing is to get rid of black babies. What did that man do in Pennsylvania?
Mm-hmm.
So again, we've got to look at the macro picture and stop looking at little individual things that are happening, because there's a big global agenda that is barreling down on us like a freight train. We're going to lose our country if we don't stand up and empower ourselves as our own representatives. Stop looking to these people in Washington or your city or your whatever to make it better for you. We, the people, are going to have to stand up and take charge and make this better. We've got to empower ourselves. And that's what I was talking to Jackie about, the education. You know, Diana, we've been talking about this on our our Common Core National Coalition. We have to start empowering our own selves, because this government is really going to take us into this one world order. And we know, and it's just a reality. And all roads lead back to Agenda 21. I don't care what they're doing. I can find you a link directly back to Agenda 21.
Well, Ms. Christina, what would you recommend to those that are listening and, you know, they want to do something but don't know what to do? What would you recommend to them?
The first thing I would recommend to them is get yourself educated on Agenda 21 and sustainability, smart growth. Those are all the different things that they're using. It's all this part and parcel of the same thing. Get yourself involved in your community. Find out what's going on. Get people, but get yourself educated first. And don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid to talk about it. Don't be afraid to bring it up. They say, oh, we can't say that. It might turn somebody off. What are you going to turn off? We're losing our country. Do you think our founders cared about being PC? Look at what they
did. Well, really, knowledge is power, you know, and that's what helps you to win and be able to fight that battle in your own community, in your own, you know, town. Because if you did not understand the true issue, the bottom, you could not have done what you did. And because you knew it, you know, you won and really fought something that most people would see as impossible. And we lost Miss Barbara. I'm going to try to get her back on. I think she's having a hard time coming back on. She's wanting to come back on. So go ahead, Ms. Christina. I'm going to try to get her on again.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, the main thing is people need to understand, get educated on American Policy Center is a good place to go to get yourself started. It's on the website, Tom DeWeese, American Policy Center, and you can get started there. And then you can take yourselves from there. But people, you can go on to my website, lightonthedesert.org, and download a PDF of a brochure that I created for a forum I did last year. I did a massive forum here on sustainable development, smart growth, and Agenda 21. I also did it on what they call AB 32 regulations, which is the California's version of cap and trade, which is coming to a neighborhood near you soon. And we created this whole brochure. It gives you an overview of Agenda 21. It gives you action and things that you can do. It gives you a glossary of terms so that you can understand some of the terminology that they're using. And it also has quotes in actual documents and things. It has a list of the government agencies here in California that are involved in Agenda 21 and implementing this agenda. And then it also gives you things from the American Planning Association, where we lifted right out of theirs where they're trying to say Agenda 21 is a myth, and then below it we put the fact. So you're welcome to go to my website, lightonthedesert.org, download this PDF of the booklet that pertain to my forum. You can go on to the site and watch the forum. It's still posted up on YouTube.
Lightonthedesert.org, right?
Lightonthedesert.org. And they can watch the forum, and they can listen to the people talk about, I had people that were involved in each facet of, you know, whether they were a planning commissioner or a planner or a architectural engineer or whatever. We had attorneys. We had all kinds of a very diverse panel to talk about these issues. So that's one thing. Go on to the AmericanPolicyCenter.org and start reading. Get yourselves educated. Don't be afraid to bring it up. We have to expose the cancer in order to cure it. Or figure out what to do to go around it.
You had a video that I watched, and I'm going to put the link on our website and with today's show.
If anyone wants to understand Common Core and the ultimate objective of Common Core, I did send Diana this video. It was done by Michael Chapman, and it is fantastic. It will give you information, it will curl your hair, but you will be informed and you will understand what the ultimate goal and end of this Common Core curriculum is all about. I can't recommend that you watch it highly enough, if that came out right.
Well, I know that you know, I have heard Miss Betty Peters and them talk about this before, about the Mark Tucker letter, Hillary Clinton, and with what you were telling us, it just really makes sense. You know, they're not really out for American exceptionalism. It's almost like they're meeting the needs of a factory, factory for the future is what it sounds like. But
remember, Diana, it's a managed society. Managed income, managed citizens, managed workforce, managed everything, every facet of your life. We won't have the freedoms anymore that we have today. We're sitting here talking like this. Do you think we'll have that freedom? No. So it's a managed everything. It literally goes back to a form of Nazism, communism, roll it all together, Marxism. They all had this utopia idea. It didn't work. But these people think they can do it better, as, you know, all dictators and tyrants think that they can.
And, so, Christina, this is why the children, like the one that Jackie was talking about, her child,
yes.
really is like, you know, he is not important to them. You know, that individualism is not important to them.
No,
the
collective is important, not the individual anymore. It's
and this is why we really have to know the bottom line, because you would not understand it otherwise. I mean, this is so different from the education system that we started off with. And you wonder to yourself, why is it so different? This is so alien. Well, when you hear what you just told us, it fits the plan that they have, you know, so that makes sense. So that now you know the enemy, you know what you're fighting against, then you know how to deal with it. And I think, Ms. Christian, what you're saying is really, you know, it's empowering, because we have to know. We have to know who the enemy is so that we can know how to fight them.
We better know. It's our job. This is what the Lord wants us to do. It's our job. It's not an option. It's our job.
Mm-hmm.
We have responsibility.
And, you know, when you have shared that, you have been successful. Because you know how to present it. And see, we've got to learn to be educated in order to be able to present it. But the facts are out there. So, you know, go to Ms. Christina's website. And also, you know, Ms. Christina, we are working on something for them so that they will have information to follow through, hopefully step by step, because I know a lot of people, they are at a loss on how to present things to their school board. And I know we've already heard of stories of, you know, other parents that have been trying to get through to their school boards. And there's some movement, somewhat, but it is slow going. I mean, when you've got 45 states signed on pretty quick, you know, I mean, we are in negative.
And how did that happen? Again, they took the stimulus. They took the, they funded this program. They went to each state. And they dangled carrots. They came up with this race to the top competition. And you had, what, 2 months to decide to sign on to, sight unseen, a curriculum that wasn't even written. And the states did it for the money. We've sold our soul to the devil for the almighty dollar. And that's the bottom line. So we don't have people with integrity anymore to stand up and say, no, we're not going to do this. This goes against our Constitution. It's all about the almighty dollar. And as long as the government keeps feeding the beast, it's going to continue to grow. And it's up to us to wake up and realize, I know people are busy. I get that. I get the fact that people have jobs and they're busy and their kids. I heard from a lady the other night, Diana, that she's she can barely talk to me because, she, you know, the kids, the jobs, this, that. So we talk late at night. And she, her school, now she's got her child in a charter school here in the Valley. And they are now doing a presentation in May on Common Core. So the parents can better understand the new curriculum that is going to be imposed on their children. Now this is a charter school that didn't have to leap out there and take it. I'm going to do some investigation to see if it's a Gulen charter school because that's tied to Common Core. But I haven't been able to do that yet. Anyway, I encourage parents, if anyone in their area, if in their schools, if they're going to do a presentation on Common Core, go to that presentation. take a little tape recorder with you. Record the session and get that information to us at our National Coalition Against Common Core. Get that information to us so we can utilize it, so we can get it out to our media people, so we can do something with it, so we can start exposing this. Parents like Jackie that have these stories, we need them. We need these stories, people. So if you have them, reach out to City on a Hill and share them and give them to Diana so she can get them to us. This is what we have to do. We have to start working as a unit, people.
Yes, and we're having we're hoping to really wake up the rest of the country. Ms. Christina, that story of 1,539 New York principals, that should be headline news. Why are 1,539 New York principals standing together in outrage over what's being taught in school? It's kind
of
core.
Why are teachers coming out? And teachers are coming out, but they're coming out like from the shadows and they're whispering, you know, because they're afraid. They're afraid of their jobs. They're afraid of this. And I can't blame them. I don't blame them. But on the other hand, we have to be courageous. We have to be courageous. And stand up. And stand up for God and our country.
Well, this is just part one, Ms. Christina. You're going to have to come back.
Honey, I'll come back.
Oh, my goodness.
Because this, I understand it's a lot, and it's a difficult subject to cover in a few minutes, you know, because you're trying to, you know, get enough in, but at the same time not overwhelm everybody.
Thank you for sharing, though, Ms. Christina.
Just understand it's very real. It's very, very real, people. It's not a conspiracy. It's fact. We use documentation of theirs. We don't even have to make stuff up. It's just there's so much available. So I encourage everybody, don't be afraid. Get out there, get yourselves educated, and let's then activate and take back our children and our country and stop this nonsense from the United Nations. We need to get out of the United Nations, period.
We do. And Ms. Christina, you know, I just really am aghast at how, like in our case here in Alabama, we've got a state superintendent who will tell us lies over and over again, and he has all the states, the other superintendents, principals, and teachers lockstep following, you know, his edict, not even questioning what is already out there as fact. Common Core is copyrighted. It is a property of an association, the National Governors Association. It's affirmed, and I think, you know, it's like, where is the intellect? You know, these are educators whose job is to study, study and test, and they are implementing something, standards that were not even tested. So it's like they're being brainwashed. Excuse me.
Well,
they too are under brainwashed.
They are, but then again, most of our educators have a liberal leaning. So this sort of ties in with their agenda. And I'm not surprised to see this. It's sad. There's a lot of personal gain involved in all of this. And this is what's the driving force. You know, Common Core is being supported by many, 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 as you know, Diana, many corporations that would shock some people. I mean, Walmart, ExxonMobil, AT&T, Google, GE, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. I mean, all of these people that just continue to sign on for what? What are they signing on for? Personal gain. You know, follow the money. In the long run, it's follow the money. It's not about our children. And I'm so sick of hearing these politicians or these people in positions saying, oh, it's about the children, the children. It isn't about the children. You could care less about the child. It's about
it's about the money. Right.
Money, control, and power. Money, control, and power.
Well, Ms. Christina, I'm going to let you go, and I know that you probably you've stayed on longer than I know you planned on with us, but I'm going to close this in prayer, if you don't mind.
Oh, honey, you go ahead.
Give the situation. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you, the creator of heaven and earth, Lord, nothing is hard for you. And, Lord, the battle is yours. And, Lord, as your word has said, Lord, we either serve you or, Lord, Heavenly Father, we serve Satan. Lord, the Bible is very clear, Heavenly Father, we cannot have but one master. And Heavenly Father, it's a fight for the souls of children. And Lord, we ask that you help us to stand in the gap. We thank you for Miss Christina for equipping us to see the big picture, Lord. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for her ability to study the details, Lord, so we know what's going on in our cities, Lord, in our towns. We see why, Lord, there's so much control to the point that, Lord, they want to control what is being taught to the children because they know when they can change the mind of the child, Lord, they can change the mind of a nation. But, Lord, this is a nation that loves you, that worships you, that was founded on you. And we ask that you equip us. We ask that you give us the ability to fight the good fight. We ask that you give us the humble hearts that we need to know that, Lord, with us it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And, Lord, just as in the beginning of this nation when George Washington bent his knee and bowed his head and asked you for help against the great enemy back then, the power of the world, Lord, that they're the greatest power of the world at that time. Lord, you heard that prayer. And so, Lord, we come before you asking in faith, Lord, that you would help us to fight for the children, to fight for Jackie's son, to fight for the others, Lord, Heavenly Father, whose children are suffering all across this land, Lord. There are stories that we've not even yet heard of that will break our heart, Lord. So, Lord, we thank you for breaking our heart today because we need to look at what the enemy has done because, Lord, it strengthens us. Lord, you give power to the weak, so we ask that you give us the power, Lord, the wisdom, Lord, to fight the good fight. And then we turn it over to you, Lord, asking that you do your will with it, you have your will. And we ask all these things, Lord, in Jesus' mighty and holy name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Miss Christina. Appreciate it so much. I'm so glad we got to hear you. I'm so glad we got to have Jackie on because, you know, we saw the face of what we are fighting. We saw the face of why we must study. We must learn the truth. Nothing will be easy, but we have to for their sake.
I was glad she came on because it set the stage for why we need to educate and activate.
Indeed. Oh, God is good. He wanted her message on with yours. So thank you, Miss Christina. God bless you, and I will be talking to you soon.
Okay, Precious.
So talk to you later. Well, listeners, we're so glad that you tuned in. Please share the podcast. Listen to it twice. And share it. We all have to understand so that we can fight the enemy well. May God bless you. May God shine his face upon you. Thank you for listening to City on a Hill. Please share the podcast on www.cityonahill.tv. Goodbye.